Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, September 13th, 2019. That's right, Friday the 13th. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, Red Friday. Jason Voorhees, Red Friday. September the 13th. 2019, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Stan Weber. He'll be in studio from 6:30 until 7:30. Then at 7:30, you're going to hear our weekly conversation with a different Chiefs player. This week, it is wide receiver Sammy Watkins, a very interesting conversation that I think you will enjoy listening to. And so that'll be at 7:30. And then after we play our conversation with Sammy Watkins, we'll have Gary Lezak on the phone to give you the weekend forecast, whether you got high school football tonight, or if you're going out to the American Royal like we are, or whatever you got going. We're going to make sure that you know what the weather's going to be like this weekend, and Gary Lezak will do that for us just before 8 o'clock, before we get into the Border Patrol Blitz, to talk to Gabe DeArmond and Matt Walters and John Kirby about Mizzou, K-State, and KU as Mizzou takes on SEMO tomorrow night. Matt Walters will talk about K-State as they will travel to Mississippi State for an 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow. And as Nate pointed out, he said, I don't want to get in trouble. What can I say and what can't I say on the air when it comes to cursing?
I don't know. Let's try to avoid the S word or the F word or the C word on TV.
What about the B word?
Oh, that's a female dog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can say that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kansas plays at Boston College tonight at 6:30, and we were sitting in the office, and Nate runs in here and goes, "Game day, bitches!"
Yeah, you can say that.
Are you sure?
That sounded just like that, too.
I know. And it went like this. If you didn't see it on 38 Despise, like, eh.
Unfurling of the arm.
It was a soft S at the end of that word, too.
Right.
Or is there an O in there? Biatches.
Tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's your Lebo promote tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kansas Boston College. Pregame starts at 5 and kickoff at 6:30 tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right.
Yep.
Apparently you can say that, too.
Well,
if they bleep it out, you can't.
Yeah. And so then we'll do the Border Patrol Blitz and get everyone's thoughts on the games this weekend for Mizzou and K-State and KU. Then we'll talk to Mike McFarland about the Royals and specifically about Jorge Soler. Man, oh, man, all he does is hit home runs every day.
Hold on. Big ones.
Man, did I enjoy reading some give and take. There are... Royals Twitter is interesting, and there have always been some analytics guys that still just won't give the Royals credit for really anything,
right?
That they've done right,
right?
And look, I'll be the first to tell you they've done plenty wrong since 2016. Or since that parade, they've done plenty wrong, okay? You won't get any arguments there from me. But highlight what I just said. Since the parade, there was a parade, okay?
Pretty big one, big parade.
So when I say since the parade, that's significant, all right?
Yeah, that's good context.
And so they went to back-to-back World Series, okay? And, like, there's national guys, like, I don't care, you know, Dan Zimborski, you know, yeah. It's kind of shtick with him. He won't give him credit for anything they did during that run.
And it was all dumb luck.
And again, who cares? Who cares what he says? But it's interesting how some analytics guys will dig in their heels, and when they crushed a player or crushed a move, but then it turns out to be in the Royals' favor, they're still not having it, and they'll still argue about it. And I mean, I saw some good Twitter back and forth about Jorge Soler, and I'm like, if you're still arguing against that deal, you better stop it. So, you know, it was a good deal. Great deal for the Royals. We all love Wade Davis, but Wade Davis has been unable to hold down the closer role in Colorado. He's got bombed again. He's not anything close to what he was. And relievers are very volatile, and relievers have a short shelf life for the most part, at least at being elite. Jorge Soler has battled injury. He's never been able to put a full season together. He battled injury here. It looked like he was not going to be able to live up to his tremendous potential here until he did. And you know, I just read, and I'm not going to put names on it because I don't want to make anyone feel bad or feel like I'm attacking anybody, but just, you know, he's still only worth a couple of wins. It's not, and just looking for different angles to take a crap on what he's done this season. And I'm like, you know, let's all take a step back and realize, okay, the Royals are going nowhere, and they may not be contending for a while. Who knows when they're going to contend again. But can't we all recognize, whether you liked the trade at the time or whether you didn't, that it turned out to be a marvelous trade, and Jorge Soler this year has been terrific. And he's got a real chance to win the AL home run title. And what does that mean? I don't know. I think it would be really cool. I'd like it. I've enjoyed it. He's been the only reason, really, that's kept me watching the Royals here in the last couple of weeks, especially since football season started. And I've been tickled to see him hit these tape measure home runs, and now to have 44 home runs. I get it. The Royals aren't very good, and they've made a whole bunch of mistakes. But it's okay to enjoy Jorge Soler and what he's doing and not argue about who was right and who was wrong and, oh, he's still only worth a couple of wins.
Man, that's a lot, by the way.
But I mean, just take a step back and say, all right, Jorge Soler, good freaking job out of you. And a hell of a acquisition by the Royals that, look, I'm saying it's not likely they'll contend this year or next year, but there's at least a chance that he'll be in uniform when the Royals are good again, because he's not leaving this year. They're still going to get returns from Jorge Soler. And Jake's showing a highlight from yesterday's 446-foot home run with a 112.7 mile-per-hour exit velocity and the 33-degree launch angle. I mean, look at that. If you can't enjoy that, then I don't know. But it was just this interesting back and forth yesterday about this home run. Like, hey, Jorge Soler has been fantastic, and they made an unpopular trade to get him, and it's turned out to be a hell of a trade. What you know? That's all. It was just a bit of irritation for me, and again. That's it. You know, and so people, and I do it too sometimes, you dig in your heels on something and it's hard for you to admit you were wrong or admit something worked out that you didn't think would work out. But this trade has certainly worked out. Jorge Soler is having a fantastic year. And I hope that Royals fans, even though the team is bad, have found a way to at least enjoy the performance from Soler Power.
I do think that there's a little bit, that's the world we live in today's world, where it's I've made my mind up. I've picked which side I'm on a subject, and there's not a damn thing you can say to change it, you know, and we draw our battle lines, and whether it's in politics, you're on the left or you're on the right. If it's in baseball, it's like you're analytics or you're not analytics, you know, it seems hard to find that middle ground. I mean, I understand the argument if you want to say, look, Soler might be really good, but they could have extended the playoff stretch one more year by holding on to Wade Davis. Maybe that's the case. But the point is that when they traded away Wade Davis, we weren't sure if they got anything. And now, turns out, yep, they did. And that's a feather in the cap of the scout side of things there, who said, look, this guy, Jorge Soler, if he gets enough at-bats, can learn how to fix some of his deficiencies at the major league level, which seems like he's figured out, right? Like, the big issue was this guy swings at everything. It's all or nothing. It's a home run or it's a strikeout. And, you know, he's got 161 strikeouts. In today's baseball, that's not even that big of a deal, I guess. But he's got a 348 on base percentage. His OPS is over 900. His WAR, according to ESPN's measuring, is 3. And it's right there with Whit Merrifield for best on the team. And that's for a guy that's not doing anything defensively to help his WAR. So that's all on offense. And like you said, maybe the most impressive thing of all, he's making you want to watch Royals baseball in September when they're barreling to 100 losses. And I understand the bigger story is you want the team not to be on their way to 100 losses, but Jorge Soler is not the reason this team's about to lose 100 games. You know, he's actually given them a shot to not lose 100 with the way he's been playing lately. So, and I think it is really, I mean, it's not nearly as important as a team winning games, but it's really cool to have a Royals player in the home run championship chase. Like, that's never happened, right? It can't have ever happened that a Royals player has been, like, this close to winning the home run title.
Unless hitting under 40 home runs wins you the title.
Right?
I mean no.
Unless hitting under 35. I mean, like...
Right.
So...
No, it's never happened.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool. And so, yeah. Hey, we saw with the Will Myers situation. I mean, there were some people that were finally willing to come around and go, you know what? I was wrong on that, and I'm glad I was wrong. But some people, even when the team was going to the playoffs, refused to admit that that was the right move. So
right now it's Mike Trout with 45 and Jorge Soler with 44.
It's unbelievable.
The major league leader is rookie Pete Alonso with 47. So,
I mean, he is right there.
And Eugenio Suarez from Cincinnati has 45. So, I've enjoyed it. And he's, I know it's counting stats, and that irritates people as well. But I like to count. You know, it keeps my mind right. He's also second in the American League in ribbies with 107 behind Jose Abreu's 115.
I think counting stats matter a little bit because they show that you're out there. You know, I mean,
counting stats matter because I'm in rotisserie baseball,
well,
and they
go.
Matter. So,
but you know, that's one of the things, like you talked about with Soler before. Can he stay healthy? Can he be available? Can he play 150 games? And if you do those things, then your counting stats add up. They're not the most important thing, but they all matter to me. They all give context. A guy to have 44 home runs and 107 RBIs on this team with the lack of protection that he's had in the order, I think that's pretty damn impressive. We're not talking about a guy hitting in like the Yankees lineup where there's people on base all around him constantly.
The Yankees.
And some big masher behind him. You know?
Right. And I think the most important thing about this is you can't forget it's Raider week.
That's right. Got my red on, buddy. Let's go.
I have my black Chiefs pullover because I mean business.
Well, business.
I'm angry, so.
You got a red hat on, though.
They can't lose this game, can they?
No.
Jake, what is your level of confidence? Or are you nervous at all? On a scale of 1 to 10, what are your nerves?
Slight nerves. Going on the road in Oakland, there's always nerves there. But real concern, not a lot.
Real concern, gimme, come on.
Not a lot of real concern. I give them, 10% maybe? Chiefs 90, Raiders 10. I think I called for a 34-24 Chiefs win.
What did I? I know what I put. I'm dumb.
What's that even mean?
No, because Lebo and I were talking, and then Gabe DeArmond sent out a tweet about this really interesting tweet about the best games he's ever been to at Memorial Stadium, because this Saturday night is the 500th game at Memorial Stadium from Mizzou football. And so he mentioned, I'll never forget, Gabe DeArmond tweet, I'll never forget when Mizzou finally beat Nebraska in 2003 and Brad Smith had three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And I said, man, it's been a long time since I've seen that. So, oh, YouTube. So I watched the whole fourth quarter the other night. And, man, that was fun. That was good. And I was reminded how much I love Brad Smith and why he's always number one. He's always number one for me, right, out of the Mizzou quarterbacks. And so they won. They were down 24-14 going into the fourth quarter to Nebraska. And Nebraska was number 10 in the nation. And then Mizzou won 41-24. In honor of that, the score that I predicted for Chiefs Raiders was 41-24. Where does Allie put these?
I like that.
She asked, we email them. Does she compile them somewhere?
Is yeah.
Posting them?
Before I say something I don't want to you, I'm not going to say anything. That's my mom taught me that. I was about six.
But 41-20, that sounds good. That sounds right. That feels good.
I think that's logic reasoning.
It doesn't seem just as good as any. To me at all.
Just as good as
okay,
any.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's, 41-17 late in the fourth quarter. And the Raiders get a garbage. Yeah.
That's a little nostalgia. I get it.
Tip of the cap to Brad Smith.
Yeah, that's totally called for.
That's the way my warped mind works.
You're real stupid.
No, you're fine, man.
What did you say?
Perfectly normal.
Moron. I said 34-26.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, 34.
I had the closest prediction apparently last time. So
then you're going to
prove it.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
Because you gave like four different scores last week. Like, which one did you send?
No, I did not.
I did not.
Oh, we got break.
Look, I got it right here. I said last week, Chiefs 34, Jacksonville 27.
Is that the fourth
that was
prediction?
My response. That was my typed out response to Allie's
your what?
Request.
What did you say?
Typed out response.
That's not what you said.
So what was it?
34-27 Chiefs.
It's a good score.
What was the score?
40-26. Everybody was calling for a low scoring game.
How's 34? Mine was 34-21. It was a 13-point spread.
Well, I had 34-27.
Yeah, but you had a 7-point game. The Chiefs won by 14. I picked them to win by 13.
They won by 14.
How's yours better?
Well, I was closer to the two scores, like 40-34 and 27-26. Like I was only off by 7 points total.
So how are we rating that? I mean, this is.
Well, you said 40-34.
I said 34-27.
Okay, wait, right.
And the score was 40-26.
I don't think that's the way we should judge that. I mean, it was. I'm mad at a 13-point game. It was a 14-point game. I mean, I win. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's that time of the week to talk to Mr. Stan Weber because it's a Football Friday, Friday the 13th, but don't be scared. The Stan's going to talk you through it. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's the 13th of September. I don't worry about Friday the 13th. I just worry about what month it is. And if it's September, you know it's football time.
Are you excited about your trip to Mississippi State?
Yeah, absolutely. Every time you check off another university to go watch either a big-time college basketball game or especially a football game, it's nice. And I haven't been to Mississippi State for either yet. And then obviously, in non-conference to see big-time matchups, SEC, Big 12. We talked about that last week at Mizzou, how much fun it was that West Virginia was coming into town.
That was fun.
And then when you get to go to the South, there's even more specialness to it, I think, in K-State going down there. It just didn't happen very often where you see matchups like this on home field. You see some neutral site games, but actually see K-State running around on the field at Mississippi State is going to be a lot of fun.
Are you curious to find out why it's called Stark Vegas?
You're going to answer that for me?
Well, Jake's the one that reminds us of that. What, I mean, do you know when you go there? I assume you get
thrilling. I mean, it's as thrilling as Las Vegas,
right?
I mean,
that's what they say. Well,
Stark
they call
Vegas.
It,
I've been there a couple times. I've worked a couple games at that. I believe they call the place the Hump.
What advice can you give to Stan Weber? That's a seasoned veteran on the other side of that glass, Stan. What can you tell
him
about
the hotel I stayed in had slot machines in the actual Lobby.
Yeah. Did you sleep in the lobby?
Nope. I didn't sleep.
No, but you've talked pretty glowingly about your trip to Stark Vegas.
It's been a while, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting place. It's a college town, and, you know, you find a little, can't remember, there's some decent barbecue spots down there, but I've done a couple basketball games for CBS down at the Hump.
So will you go, will you guys get a chance to go out and have dinner tonight? Like, what will you're going to leave this afternoon? What will the schedule be when you get to Mississippi State?
Well, I think the schedule is going to be a little bit different and a little more exciting to talk about. I'll talk about a normal schedule first. You mm-hmm. know, you take off at 3 o'clock. It's a business trip completely. Back when I played, they let us go visit things. We went to the Grand Ole Opry when we went to Nashville to play Vanderbilt. We went to a horse farm and ate lunch at a super cool horse farm when we played Kentucky. You know, we got a little bit of the atmosphere. We were student athletes. Now it's all business, man. You go to the hotel. If the coach wants to walk on the field for a second, you can. But most coaches now fly in, go to the hotel, and the players are contained right there with meetings. If they're going to watch a movie, it's all in-house. We used to go out to the movie theaters at home and away, and relax on Friday night. Not now. I mean, if they do that, they're going to put a video up in a certain room. They're going to meet, watch tape, relax, get on their routine, eat at the right times. For us, we normally end up with a schedule very close to the same. We don't get cars and things like that, and usually we eat nearby. So depending on where the hotel is, it's usually the most boring place to walk over. You might try to get to a sports bar. Very bad to say, hey, I went to, you know, fill in the blank. In Texas, if your team stays downtown, you can say, hey, I went to Austin. I went to 6th Street. It's awesome. If they hold you out in the suburbs, you say, it looks like every other town in America. At Mississippi State, I believe we're going to be in town at a hotel, so I really believe I'm going to get to see some Friday night atmosphere, go out, eat what the locals want to eat, see what's going on. You know, you don't want to, it's not like I want to hang out at the bars that much, but if there's a place where you can walk through an Aggieville, you know, I will be able to see it this time.
Get after
it, Stan. Most of the time, no, it's just hotel and football.
So. Will you search out a TV to check out Friday Night Football, Kansas at Boston College?
Well, I kind of have a reputation, and not to live up to. It's just like a disease. You know, I pretty much know that there are three big games tonight. The problem I'm going to have is, will they have the ACC network? Where am I going to go that they have ACC network? I asked that at my house. I got two different sources. I got more than that. I got like four different sources, and I don't get the ACC network. So
really?
I haven't seen anything that the ACC network has shown, so I can't go over to Nate's house tonight and watch KU, but obviously I want to see what's going
on.
You
have a standing invitation to my house to come over and watch ACC Network anytime you want.
Well, I appreciate it. Right. It's the first invite I've got.
Provider login information.
Could you hook him up?
Login.
A little internet access?
I don't know that you can watch it if you're not in the house with the Wi-Fi. And some of that Spectrum cable, only certain channels work when you're not in the house. But I don't know what sports package I have on the Spectrum cable. It's probably because I'm the soccer nerd that wants to have the weird channels to carry other soccer games.
He wants it all.
But I watched ACC. I didn't know I had it either. And I wanted to watch that Jordan Love kid from Utah State. It was on a Friday night a couple weeks ago. And they were playing Wake Forest, and it was on the ACC network. So I just need to search one more time.
Yeah. You know, one of my sources has – I have the SEC network on both sources. I have Big Ten on one of them. I got Pac-12 on none.
Yeah, nobody has Pac-12.
I just can't get the Pac-12,
apparently.
And the ACC seems blanked out. You know, I don't get to sit around on Saturdays and check this out, guys.
Right.
I've not been at home
on a
Saturday.
Come on, man.
Right. So yeah. I'm just searching around saying, do I have it? I haven't found it yet, so I'm a little bit nervous. Will I see the KU game tonight or not? And it's kind of sad, but normally I would not miss the game. Hopefully it's on at a place where we can go eat and watch some football at the same time.
Tune in Sports Radio 810 WHB. Will it be available on the app? Can we get it on the app?
Well, I doubt it. They don't allow it, but you can stream it on like KUAthletics.com.
There you go.
You know, for free. I listen to the games sometimes on that on my phone when I'm out doing yard work and
Jake
stuff like
that.
Jake
says he has a couple of illegal ways for you to watch it if you want to talk to him in the commercial break.
Not on TV.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that on the air, but we'll take a break and have a quick conference with Jake about that on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. How's making my breakfast, Stan?
It is breakfast time, no doubt about it.
Stan Weber is in studio. Okay, let's get into this, because that's the marquee matchup for the local schools, Kansas State at Mississippi State. Kansas State looked very impressive. Their shutout victory over Bowling Green. But Mississippi State, it's a different Mississippi State than what we saw come to Manhattan last year. And so I know that you've researched Mississippi State. What kind of challenge will this be for Kansas State tomorrow, 11 a.m. kickoff?
Well, it's going to be a lot different than last year. That's the place to start, because a lot of fans looked in and said, hey, can't wait to see Mississippi State roll into Manhattan. Will it be like it was in the 2014-13 era when Auburn came in on a Thursday night and K-State looked like the better team but missed field goals? No, Mississippi State looked like a dominating physical mismatch. But you know that they had three first-round NFL draft picks on the defensive side. A defensive tackle, a defensive end, and then Abrams, a safety that's not going to be available for the Raiders, but a physical presence out there. They were the best defense in the country last year in points given up. They never gave up more than 28 points in any game. They dominated, and the rushing, the total offense, they stopped everybody. Those three guys graduated, and they have not replaced them with NFL first-round picks. Now, they're good, but there are no real lead dogs for Mississippi State. There's no guy out there where you look and say, he's the one that you have to block or you're going to be in big trouble. They got 11 athletic guys out there. They're coming on. They play good, but they're not perfect. You know, they don't make perfect tackles. They don't fight off blocks perfectly. They're not in their gaps perfectly. So it's going to be very interesting. Shoop, the defensive coordinator, loves to bring the blitz, cause havoc. Weak corner blitzes, strong safety blitzes, blitz off the slot, X blitzes by the middle linebackers. They'll come, but basically they use a four-man front. They mix it up with zone and man, bring some blitzes, and they're very physical on the defensive side, but they are not dominating. It's going to be very interesting to battle with K-State's offense, which I'm kind of like the Swiss Army knife. They are just going to attack you here and there and take little advantages of you and frustrate you and keep moving the football down the field. And Courtney Messingham, who's really smart as an offensive coordinator, if he's able to find out where you have a weakness or if he can get a matchup he likes, K-State can take advantage of it. Obviously, Skylar Thompson's got to play at a high level, and guys, he has played 2 weeks in a row. Last week when we talked about this, I said Skylar was unbelievable in week one, took that advancement from sophomore year to junior year. Could he do it week after week? Well, still time to prove that, but he looked great in the next game, too. I'm talking putting the ball accurately where it should be, comfortable in the pocket, movement in the pocket like an NFL guy just to get away from the rush, runs to throw, all those kind of things. And then when Mississippi State gets the football, their running back, has gone over 100 yards in both games. He is big and strong. They have an unusual style. See if this makes sense. Hey, on TV, it'll be pretty easy. The shotgun snap comes back to the quarterback. As the zone read, the running back, if he's on the left, he gets the handoff going to the right. And where does he usually go? Off tackle, right? They get the handoff, and he plants his foot and goes straight up the middle or even cuts back. Doesn't read the cutback, it's designed. It really gives the linebackers a tough read. Day after day, you're used to saying, oh, if he gives the ball, I need to move over a couple slots and meet the runner, and he cuts back. And Hill is big and strong, a guy that ran for over 200 yards last year against K-State, had a 50-plus yard run, had a touchdown reception. K-State fans know about him, number 8. He'll be the guy. Can K-State stop him? That's a big, 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 big issue in this game. And K-State's, I think, run only 85 defensive plays this year. They may be on the field for 85 plays in a college football game tomorrow.
Looking at that first round from last year you talked about, the number 19 overall pick was Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle. He went to Tennessee. He's out for the year, by the way.
Wow.
And isn't
I hadn't heard
play.
That one.
Yeah, so he didn't even play in week one for Tennessee. And then you mentioned, you know, Jonathan Abram, the first round pick at safety for the Raiders, and now, you know, looks like he's out for the year. And then that Jeffrey, Montez Sweat, picked by Washington Redskins at number 26 overall. So that's crazy. Three first-round picks on the defensive side of the ball that they kind of try to replace. So
we've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Evan says, tell Stan to go to Sweet Peppers Deli in Stark Vegas. It's great. So
Sweet Peppers Deli.
Deli. Stan.
So there's and tell him that I know him, or is this just go?
Evan sent me. See if that works for you. I don't know.
Evan sent me.
Right.
Got it.
Sweet Peppers Deli. That sounds very good in Stark Vegas.
You are watching things all the time, all night long. You're watching Twitter. You know what's going on social media. Can you tell me who's going to play quarterback? Because, I mean, Mississippi State has more options than any team alive. One of the big things about tomorrow's game, maybe I'll find out tomorrow, you know, tonight in town, because the students seem to always know what's going on.
Right.
But do you know the quarterback situation? Tommy Stevens is a guy that transferred from Penn State, because Joe Moorhead's a Penn State guy. Mm-hmm. When he got there last year, Nick Fitzgerald was Colin Klein Jr., number 7, big, scrappy guy who can make every third down run, not the greatest passer. But it was not a real match between the two of them. The coach wanted to throw. He wants Penn State's offense, and he had Mississippi State's offense, and it was a little bit of a mismatch. So Tommy Stevens comes in this summer, wins the starting job. So he's throwing the ball well, running the offense perfectly, and Mississippi State looks like a different team. But he got hit on his shoulder and left the game last week against Southern Mississippi. Don't know how bad he's hurt, and he might play. If he doesn't play, they went to a freshman, Garrett Schrader. He was not as effective, but he has all the size and everything. He was recruited to Penn State by Joe Moorhead, but when he moved to Mississippi State, he went in, so he's his first recruit. Loves that freshman. They got another freshman, Jalen Maiden, they like, but he hadn't been in the game. And what makes this all interesting is Keaton Thompson started last year and looked like the next quarterback, no doubt about it, more of a running style, but a dual threat. He was absolutely the second string guy last year and ready to be the starter. He got mad when Tommy Stevens won the job. He went to the portal and said, I'm transferring, and then decided to come back. But he missed practice, hadn't been around, and they didn't put him in. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the starting quarterback. I mean, if Stevens isn't available, Keaton Thompson's the best option, but he kind of screwed it up by leaving for a couple weeks. They could go with 4 different guys tomorrow, depending on health and who they wanted to practice with this week. So it's very intriguing to watch that, because they're a lot better team if Tommy Stevens is the quarterback. It's more of an NFL style, throwing the ball well, handing it off to Kylan Hill. But that's one of the stories to watch tomorrow. Which of the 4 quarterbacks is going to play?
Kansas State, Mississippi State, 11 a.m. kickoff in Starkville. 6:30 tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas and Boston College. What is Kansas? What can Kansas do to try to keep this thing competitive? Boston College is favored by 20.5 points right now.
Well, when you look at the Kansas team, we haven't got a great read on the defense, I don't think. Nate may feel otherwise, but it's been more about the offense and what they're trying to do, going with Carter Stanley, sticking with Carter Stanley, the ups and downs, the running backs that they have to feature. But we really haven't spent a lot of time saying, what is this defense? I'm not sure who the standout players are, but I also don't look out on the field for KU and say, oh, there's a giant weakness, and there's a giant weakness. So I really wonder how they're going to hold up on the defensive side, because Boston College has run the football 70% of the time, and they've got a big-time NFL back that they can give the ball to. But the quarterback's not bad either, so they could have balance in their offense. It's mostly about the defense. If the defense held up and Boston College scored 34 points tonight, you know, it took them a while. 34 is not that bad in a college game, by the way. If you make them work for it, if it doesn't all come in the first quarter, if they get out of there, and no matter what the offense does, if Kansas scores 7 or 10 or 6 or whatever, but if they hold them to a solid 34 or under, you know, I think that's something to bounce back from. Obviously, you always hope you only get 12 games. You hope for upsets. You hope for craziness. You hope for Puka Williams to go off and make big plays. But generally, I think Boston College is better. They're at home. And I just wonder, can Kansas defense show us something? That's the question. I think we know about the offense. It may not be something you want to know about, but we do know about the offense. We don't know about the defense, in my opinion.
I mean, they've been outgained by Indiana State and Coastal Carolina. You know, I mean, I think
but,
that's...
But they weren't, you know, like easy 12-yard runs. I mean,
no.
It's 4 here, it's 8 here. I'm not overly impressed with the defense, but...
Overall, like, yeah. It's more because the offense isn't doing anything than it is the
right.
defense, but... It's one thing to hold Coastal Carolina to under 300 yards. Like you said, we'll find out when they play a team like Boston College.
Yeah, because they come off the ball. They've beaten Virginia Tech. They got a big-time back. The quarterback's good. It's going to be a hard, hard game. But psychologically, it's probably better they're gone. Get away from Lawrence. It's not a good place to be when you're a football player and you lose. I mean, the cancer starts inside, okay? When your programs get torn down, it's inside. A home game is the worst thing Kansas could have right now. If this were Boston College at KU, it would be awful for the players to look up and say, oh, there's no one in the stands. No one talked about it at class today. Everyone's just saying we suck. You know, it's not good for the psyche of your football team. At least they're going to go on the road, circle the wagons, and listen to Les Miles and see if he can push the right buttons. But he did not push the right buttons last week. That was awful. The fourth quarter was badly coached. Down by five, good field goal range, 8-10 minutes left in the game. Shoot the field goal through. You're the better team, you think, and come back and win the game with a field goal later. The fourth down play calls being in a wing position, having a guy on a run a reverse on fourth and one with the guy running backwards 5 yards to get the ball and hope he's going to angle on the other side of the line against a fourth down defense. It's either going to be a touchdown or not make the first down. That's what's going to happen. It was badly played. You can blame the players, but the coaches did not support them well with the decisions they made in the fourth quarter.
All right, and before we break, Mizzou takes on SEMO, so that should be at least a breather for them before they start conference play against South Carolina. But a good bounce back for Barry Odom and his boys against West Virginia.
Very good, because what worried me most about the Wyoming game was the run defense. And obviously the big plays, totally unacceptable. I mean, those two runs that Wyoming had back-to-back shouldn't happen but about once a season against Georgia or anybody.
Right.
So I was worried. And then down after down, I didn't say, oh, that was an aberration. No one's going to be able to run on Mizzou. It's just an accident. All guys fell down or, you know, something crazy. No, I wondered about the run defense. Now, West Virginia has not established the run at all, but they're still a Big 12 school that's used to winning 8-9 games a year. They're well coached, and Missouri stuffed them. So that was good. Turnovers were giant to set the tone. Because if you go back and watch the game, I know you were there, Stephen. It wasn't as if it was Mizzou all the way until they got that interception. It could have been a little battle, like 7-0, 3 was. Did Missouri score a field goal or a touchdown first?
Touchdown.
So it could have been 7-0 for a little while.
I was standing in line trying to get my tickets for the first quarter.
So you were listening on the radio?
Was furious.
I love guys who listen on the radio. You know, the people in the bathroom at games?
Yep.
And we'll call. You know, they get to hear us on the loudspeakers. It's great. My favorite fans of all time, starting when I started with Mitch Holtis in 1987, the ones with headphones in the stands.
Yeah.
Love those people.
Yeah.
They hold you accountable. Back before TV, now everybody holds me accountable. But before TV, I'd say, I'm broadcasting to them because if I made up something, like, oh, he leaped 5 feet in the air and dove and got a first down for the Cats. Like, no, that didn't happen at all. So
I like that voice you just used. That was good.
Yeah, I need to do some play-by-play stuff,
yeah.
Steven.
Yeah.
We've got Stan Weber in studio. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Stan Weber in studio. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and the Raiders coming up next. Sammy Watkins at 7:30, Gary Lezak at 7:50. Then we're going to have our Border Patrol Blitz, and then Mike McFarlane, and then Lee Sterling. All that and more coming up right here on this Red Friday. It's Raiders week. It's Chiefs kicking the Raiders' ass week.
Are you ready for some football?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.